Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Nun Vav. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, we look in the margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Dalid Dvorim, 4 things, ha'isa oisan, that one who does them, potur midinei adam v'chayav bedinei shamayim. These things are, we'll say, wrong things to do. However, if one does them, he will not be found guilty. He will not be obligated to pay in an earthly court. However, according to the rules of heaven, in a heavenly court, he is said to be guilty. The Gemara. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yeshua, Arba Dvorim, Ha'isa Oisan, there are 4 things that one who does them, Potur Midine Adam, will be exempt in terms of man's laws, the earthly court, V'chayov Bedine Shemayim, but by law of heaven, he is said to be guilty. V'elu Hain. Haporetz geder b'fnei behemas chavero. One who opens a fence, knocks down a fence, creates a breach in a fence in front of someone else's animal. With the breach, of course, the animal can escape and wreak damage. Number 2, va'kifet komosu shel chavero b'fnei adleka. One who bends over growing sheaves of grain in the face of a fire. And number 3, Vasocher Ede Sheker Lehoid, one who hires false witnesses to testify. In other words, they will lie, and he has hired them to do so. Number 4, Vayodea Edus Lechaveru Vieno Meidlo, one who is aware of testimony that could benefit his friend and does not testify. We just went over 4 items that will now be reviewed and explained by the Gemara. The triangle that you see is the beginning of a series marking, and on the side, under our Mivne, under the structural note, we indicate Pirut, itemizing the Hezber, Dalid, Dvorim, Hanal, the 4 items mentioned. V'loma Einom Chayovim Gam Bedine Odom. Why is he not held responsible in an earthly court? Omar Mar. We quote from above, number 1, the numbering here corresponds to the numbers that we saw in the Tanaic source. Haporeitz geder b'fnei behemas chavero, one who creates a breach in a fence in the face of his friend's animal. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances? Ilem obakisel bori, if we're talking about creating a breach, breaking open a gap in a solid fence, Bedine Odonami Nechayev, he would certainly be guilty in an earthly court to compensate for the damage he wrought to the fence. So the source would not describe the breaching of a gap in a solid wall fence as being innocent, exempt from compensation in an earthly court. Ela, we now continue at the top of Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. B'Kaisel Ra'u'a. The breach was made in a fence that was flimsy, that was shaky, that Rashi describes at the top, B'Kaisel Ra'u'a D'lo Afsadei. The fellow who created the breach didn't cause any real loss, any financial loss. De la mistar koi, it was going to be knocked down anyway. So what he did is not a positive act in terms of Dinei Shamayim. He created a breach in a fence. However, financially, he's not held responsible. And we repeat, the reason is because the fence itself was going to have to be knocked down anyway. Omar Mar, Hakoifiv Komosoi Shel Chavero Befnei Hadleko. One who bent over growing grains, sheaves of grain, in front of a fire. Hey Chidomi, what are the circumstances? I Lemo Dematyo Le Beruach Mesuya. If, as a result of bending the grains over, a fire will reach it. We will reach the grains in a normal wind. Well, Bedine Odom Nami Nechayev. We should hold this person responsible even in an earthly court. As a result of his actions, these grains are now going to burn as a result of a normal type wind blowing, enabling the fire to reach these grains. If this fellow would not have intervened, wouldn't have bent the grains, the fire wouldn't have reached it. So he is said to be guilty even bedine odom. So what was the source talking about when it said he's exempt bedine odom? Elam, we have a number one. There are two approaches here. Number one, ela dematia beruach she'eino mitzuya. He bent over the grains, and the only way the fire will reach these grains would be in a gale force wind. This is something that one is not expected to consider. It's not something that occurs to people. Therefore, his action of bending over the grains is not said to be culpable in an earthly court. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi says what this person did in that the source says is guilty only in heavenly terms, not in earthly terms. Tomun itmar, mishum deshavya tomun baish. Tomun is a word meaning something that's hidden or covered. There's a special scriptural exemption for damage caused by fire of items that are covered. Fire, and the one who lit the fire, is said to be responsible for damage that it causes only on exposed items. By this fellow covering the grains, and the fire eventually reaching that area and burning them, the owner of the grains will not be able to receive compensation for his loss. Why? Because this other fellow had covered the grains. So he caused the owner to lose, but on the other hand, he didn't actually light the fire. So as a result, he is said to be guilty in heavenly terms, but an earthly court cannot prosecute and obligate him to compensate. Omar Mar, Hasocher Aide Sheker. The third example was one who hired false witnesses. Hechidomi, what are the circumstances? I Lema Lenafshe, that he hired false witnesses to testify on his own behalf, thereby, we'll say, receiving money from someone who shouldn't have paid, so I'd be receiving money wrongfully. Well, Mamona Boy Shlumi, Ubedine Adam Nami Nechayev. The money that you just got, that you received wrongfully through the assistance of these false witnesses, you have to return that money. And you would be obligated to do so even in earthly court terms. So that's clearly not what the source was talking about. Elo lechavrei, I hired witnesses to testify falsely on behalf of my friend. So as far as my behavior is concerned, hiring the false witnesses, I personally did not receive any benefit, but I did something wrong. So in Shomayim, we hold you accountable. Number four, Vahayodea. Notice we have a triangle. We don't this is sex, this fourth case doesn't open up with an Omar Mar quote, but it's the same thing. We're quoting from the source. Number four, Vayodea Eidus Lechavero V'eino Meid Lo. One who knows testimony that would benefit his friend and remains silent, doesn't testify. The Torah expects people that when they know testimony to testify. Here he's withholding testimony. B'may askin, and what are the circumstances? Ilemo bebetrei, if he is one of two witnesses that know the information, and he remains silent so that the set of two witnesses won't be able to testify as such. Pshita, that's obvious that he is guilty b'dinei shomayim. De'oraisa hu, he has violated a Torah requirement. The Torah, in speaking about two witnesses, it says, im lo yagid v'noso avoinoi. If they do not say their testimony, they bear a sin. So the source is not, the Tanaic source is not here to tell me something that's obvious. Elo b'chad. Rather, we're talking about a single individual, a single witness. Now, a single witness, when testifying, doesn't create an obligation on the part of the defendant to pay out. You need two witnesses in order to extract money from one and pay the other. A single witness is not enough. However, in Torah law, the testimony of a single witness can force the defendant to take an oath countering that which the witness is saying. In other words, if a witness testifies about Mr. A, you, Mr. A, borrowed money from Mr. B. In other words, you, Mr. A, owe Mr. B $100. And Mr. A hears such testimony, by law, Mr. A has to swear, I do not owe $100, or I never took the loan out, or I paid the money back already. He has to testify to counter that which the single witness is saying. On many occasions, people don't like to swear, even if their oath is, even if they are telling the truth, they still don't want to swear, and they opt to pay. So here we have a single witness that, had he testified, the defendant may have paid the money. And without testifying, so he's not motivated to pay out the money. So that the silence of this singular witness, is in effect causing a loss to the party to whom the money is owed. So what have we done till now in the Gemara? We've explained why in the four cases there is no earthly obligation to compensate, and why only in heaven terms the person is said to be guilty. The Gemara asks, and you'll note we have a long question marking, and also there's a series of diamonds that appear on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, where the diamond is presented. We've written, V'ho'iko, in quotation marks, that's the phrase we've highlighted. Sidur shel kushyos is a series of questions. Dugmois nosafois al hadalet shebebraisa. Additional examples of cases, of examples, beyond the four mentioned in the Tanaic source at the bottom of Nun Hei Omid Beis, Shechayoven bidei shomayim bilvad, Shechayev bidinei shomayim bilvad, where he's chayev in dinei shomayim alone, and not lefi dinei odom, not according to the earthly court. So there are more than four examples. V'loma lo kotani bebraisa besof Nun Hei Omid Beis. Why are these not included in that Tanaic source? So, taking a look at the Gemara, before we get into the text, first of all, you notice we have one, it's basically one long question. There are numerous Tanaic sources, and Rashi goes out of his way to say that each one of the examples is a Tanaic source. With the frames that we have, you can readily see that. In addition, if you look closely at each source, there's a dashed underline phrase, and it repeats, Poter midine adam v'chayim midine shamayim. So we have another five examples. Why did the source on Nun Hei Amud Beis say there are only four cases of Poter midine adam v'chayim midine shamayim, when in fact there are at least nine cases? Following the long question, you'll see that we have a long answer. The tuf that encircles the tshuva, teretz, and we have a long marking. The Gemara will say, of course, you're right, there are more than four examples. But the four that we saw had to be taught in one grouping to reveal to us that, contrary to what you might have thought, that even Bedine Shemayim, he should not be held responsible, he nevertheless is held responsible, Bedine Shemayim. And in the long answer, the Gemara will point out in each case why I would have thought that he bears no guilt whatsoever, hence the need to tell me that he is guilty, Bedine Shemayim. We'll go over each one of the cases, each one of the four cases. If you are looking ahead, you can see the double underline, which highlights each one of those, and the numbering, which corresponds to the four cases we already had. So those four cases on Nun Hei Amud Beis were special in that sense, that they had to be taught, because otherwise I would have thought they're not held guilty even Bedine Shamayim. Whereas the cases that constitute the long question, there we will say there it's kind of obvious that he is at least guilty Bedine Shamayim, making these additional five cases different than those four where it wasn't obvious that he would be guilty Bedine Shamayim. So now we turn to our long question. Vesuleka, are there no more than four cases that he's chayav b'dinei shamayim? V'ha'ika, is there not the following? You notice in brackets there's a simen. It's like a type of mnemonic that helps you remember all the cases that we're going to see. So it's a simen, ha'oise b'sam ushliach chavero nishbar. Each one of these words is a key word in the cases that we'll be seeing. So the first case, ha'oise melacha b'mei chatas u'b'poras chatas. One who uses the water that's designed for the waters of purification for those defiled to the dead, which maybe you're familiar with the term pora aduma water, where we take the ashes of a pora aduma, a red heifer, and mix them with water that's drawn from a live spring. And that water mixture is used to sprinkled on someone who became defiled to the dead on a third and seventh day of a week of purification. And that is part of his purification process. The water that is used in that process is that's drawn for that purpose is called mei chatos. If one uses that water for some mundane purpose, we call it here ha'oise melacha, that will ruin the water for the pora aduma ritual. And likewise, one who works with the cow itself, the pora aduma itself, one who Torah describes how you are to use a cow that was not involved in any activity whatsoever. Asher lo ala aleha oil, that even a yoke was not placed upon its back. One who would do that, ruin the pora aduma from being useful as the pora aduma for purification purposes, he is said to be poter bedine adam. He is exempt from having to compensate in terms of earth in an earthly court. The damage that he did is not a visible damage, called hezek she'eno nikar. It's damage, but it's not a visible damage. It's called a spiritual type damage, an abstract damage. Therefore, the earthly court cannot prosecute and obligate him to pay. But Chayav Bedinei Shemayim, in heaven, he is viewed as having done something wrong. Ve'ika, and there's another case. Hanoisin Samamoves Bifnei Behemas Chavero, one who places poison down in front of someone else's animal, and the animal ate it. So the one who placed the poison down is Potter Midine Odom V'chayov Bedine Shamayim. He's exempt in earthly terms, but he is guilty in heavenly terms. V'ho'ika Hashalech Esabeiro Biad Chere Sheite V'Katan. One who gives a torch to a deaf mute, an imbecile, or a minor. And they go and they're inept individuals and they cause a fire. But I gave the torch to them. Potter midine adam v'chayov bedine shamayim. Naturally, I didn't light anything. I didn't damage anything, but I created the situation where the damage was almost inevitable. So that's why we say he is, though he's exempt in earthly terms, heaven holds him guilty. Vehoika hamavis es chavero, one who causes a fright to his friend, one who trumpets in someone's ear, all in a sudden, unexpected way, causing him to be overcome with fear, with fright. So I didn't do anything to him bodily, so I'm not guilty in earthly terms, but chayav bedinei shamayim. V'ho'ika, is there not another case? Nishbaro kado b'shesarav v'lo solka. Someone's jug broke in a public thoroughfare, and the owner left it there, left the pieces there. Nofla gomloi v'lo amida, one's camel fell in a on a road, and he didn't assist the camel to stand up, and someone tripped over these items. Rabbi Meir Mechayev Behezekon. Rabbi Meir says you have to compensate. And V'chachomim Omrim Potter Bedine Odom V'chayov Bedine Shamayim. Another example. So after all said and done, why did the Gemara on Nun Hei Amid Beis feature a Tanaic source that says there are only four examples of Potter Bedine Odom V'chayov Bedine Shamayim when you have another five Tanaic sources that give additional cases just like that? The Gemara answers, in Miha Iko Tuva. Yes, there are in fact more than the four cases. V'hani, it's the Rihole. The four cases mentioned in the original source on Nun Hamid Beis, they need to be taught, as they need to be taught especially. Therefore, those four cases have a unique element to them, different than the cases we just suggested. Mahu detema, regarding those four cases, I would have thought, with if not taught, bedine shamayim nami lo lechayiv, that even in heavenly terms he should not be held guilty. Komash malon, the source on Nun Hei Omid Beis, tells us that he is guilty in heavenly terms. And at this point, the double underline that you see, it's one of our series markings, highlights each one of those cases, explaining why I would have thought that even in heavenly terms, he should not be held accountable. So here we go over what we call the Havamina, what I would have thought had it not been taught. Haporeitz Geder B'fnei Behemas Chavero, one who broke open a breach in a shaky wall in front of my friend's animal, mahu detema, I might have thought, kevon de la mystere kai, my ovid, since it was to be knocked down anyway, what did this guy do? Bedine shemayim nami lo lechayiv, even in heavenly terms, he should not be held responsible. Komash Malon, in heavenly terms, he's viewed as having done something wrong. Now, exactly what the Chiyuv Dinei Shamayim is relating to, it turns out to be a major discussion in the commentaries. If you have access to the Sefer Shita Mikubetzes on Bava Kama, you will see there quite a lively discussion on this very case. What wrong has he done? After all, we just said it was a shaky, precarious wall that had to be knocked down anyway. So some take the approach that as long as the wall was standing, it could be that the animal wouldn't have escaped. Maybe yes, maybe no. Was quite doubtful. Now that you breached open the wall, the animal almost certainly will escape and wreak damage. So that so that in that sense you did something wrong. Financially, though, we can't hold you responsible. The value of the wall was non-existent, and the animal doing damage is not something that I physically was responsible for. The animal wandered out on its own. Hakoifef komosu shel chavero nami, regarding the bending of the grains in the face of the fire, mahu detemo. One might have thought, lema mi hava yadano de asya ruach she'eno mitsuya. How would I have known that a gale force wind would come along? Ubadine shamayim nami lo lechayev. And even in heavenly terms, he should not be held responsible. Komash malon. So the source tells us that the fellow who bent over the grains. And it's true that they were consumed only because of a gale force wind, but you did something wrong. You shouldn't have tampered with the neighbor's grains at all. Ula Ravashi Domar Nami Tomun Itmar. Ravashi's explanation of that case was that the passerby threw a blanket over the grains, which resulted in the owner's inability to receive compensation when fire would consume it. So according to Ravashi as well, mahu detemo, I might have thought, that the fellow who threw the blanket over the grains could have claimed, ano kesuye kesite nihaloch. Oh, I actually did you a favor. I covered the grains so that a fire shouldn't burn them quickly. And even in heavenly terms, he should not be held responsible or accountable. Komash Malon, so the source tells us that by doing so, the owner now will not be able to receive any compensation for their loss. And in that sense, you did something wrong. V'hasocher aide sheker dami, the hiring of a false witness as well. Mahu detemo, lema, one might have thought that the one who hired them would be able to defend himself in the following sense. Divrei harav, v'divrei ha-talmud, divrei mishomen. This expression appears in numerous places. Divrei harav, the words of the master versus the words of the student. Who would you expect a person to heed? Of course, the words of the master. God is the master. he says that you shall not lie. The guy hiring him is the Talmud, is the equivalent of the student who hired the witness saying him, I want you to lie. The fellow who was hired, who should he have listened to? Of course, to the master. He shouldn't have lied. The fact that I hired him is almost irrelevant. Ubadine shamayim nami lo lechayev. He's done the wrong by lying. And I who hired him, I did nothing. He shouldn't have listened to me at the outset. And I shouldn't be held accountable even. Ubadine shamayim komash malon. The source tells us not so. What you did is something that is wrong in the eyes of heaven. Vayodea edus lechavero vieno meyidlo nami, someone who hired a false someone who knew testimony, but remained silent with his testimony, nami, I would have thought, mahu detemo, mi yemar, who says, dechi have masadino le have mode, that if I would have spoken up as a singular witness, the guilty party would have conceded and paid out the money, and as a result of my remaining silent, so he didn't do that. Dilma hava mishtaba l'shikra, maybe he would have sworn falsely, saying, "I don't owe any money," under oath, lie under oath. And as far as I am concerned, it's true I remained silent, but even had I spoken up, who says that the other party would have received compensation to begin with? The fellow that owed the money, maybe he would have sworn falsely. Ubadine shamayim nami lo lechayev, and even in heavenly terms as well, I who remained silent should not be held accountable. Komash malon, the source tells us that from the standpoint of Shamayim, you had to speak up, had to say your testimony to at least pressure the party into admitting and not swearing falsely. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei. It reads, Nifritza HaGeder Potter, a fence that breaks open. We'll talk about a Kosel Bori, a solid wall, and we'll mention a Habehema Chosra, an animal digging under. Omar Rabba. Now, take note of the fact that we have a house marking, a 1 and later a 2 will appear alongside the Gemara text. These are 2 Lashonos in Rabbah. Omar Rabbah, Abba says that which is taught in the Mishnah, Nifritza Balayla, and the Mishnah said that the owner of the animal is innocent, is not responsible for a wall that breaks down at night. So Rabba says, Vahu Shechosra. How did the wall come down? Because the animal dug under the foundation of the wall, causing it to fall down. And as such, the owner is onus. He's beyond his control, and hence he's not held responsible. Avol. Lo chosramai. However, had the wall fallen down on its own without the animal digging under, what would the din be then, according to what Rabba is saying? Chayav. The owner is held responsible. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances? Ilemo b'kaisel bori, if we're speaking about a solid wall, ki lo chosramai chayav. If the animal did not dig under it, why should the owner be held responsible? My havilei lemevan, what could he have possibly done? It's whatever happened, whatever caused the wall to fall down was certainly beyond his control. Elo bekeisel ruwa. Rather, the Mishnah with Rabbah's explanation must have been dealing with a shaky wall. Well, ki chosra amai potter. Rabba explained that the exemption is because the animal dug under. So what if the animal dug under, causing it to fall down? Amai potter, why is the owner exempt? The case started out with an element of negligence on the part of the owner, relying on a shaky wall. That's negligent. The animal causing it to fall down, granted that's a result of the animal's action, that's something that you can't expect the owner to be aware of, to anticipate. So the end result as far as the wall's concerned was through onus. But that shouldn't be grounds for exemption. So the Gemara says, Hanicha, I understand that there is exemption, Laman Doma, according to the opinion that says, Tchilasa b'pshia v'sefe b'aynes poter. Cases that start off with negligence, though the end result is through ones, there in fact is exemption because you emphasize the end result. Though, so I understand the Mishnah, no problem. There's another opinion, though, on that topic, that situations that begin with negligence, though the end is oinus, we emphasize the beginning, the pshia aspect, and the responsible party is guilty, ma'iko le'meimar, then why would there be an exemption in the Mishnah, as according to what Rabba taught, because the animal dug under. So what? What, he was digging under a shaky, a flimsy, precarious wall. So the owner, right at the outset, was behaving in a negligent way. There's no reason, according to this opinion, to say that there is innocence upon the animal's escape and causing damage. Ella, Masnisin Bekoisel Bori. Viafilu Lo Chasr. As far as the Mishnah that spoke about Nifritza Belaila Potter is talking about a solid wall, and even without the animal digging under, there would be exemption. Rabba wasn't addressing that to begin with. Vihitmar de Rabba safely. Rabba's comment is on the end of the Mishnah, the latter part of the Mishnah, which states, Hinicha b'chama oishamosu l'cheiru sheite v'kotten v'yotzisa v'ziko chayav. If a person left his animal in a fenced-in area, but in the sun, or he gave his animal to one of these inepts, a deaf mute, an imbecile, or a minor, and the animal went out and caused damage, the owner is chayav. Regarding the what were the circumstances here? Omar Rabba, Ve'afilu Chasra. Even if you had a solid wall, the element of solid wall is a point that Rashi adds, a solid wall that the animal dug out from under, you have all the, we'll say, elements that should be in defense of the owner. Solid wall, animal digging under foundation. Nevertheless, the escape of the animal, being that you left it in under these circumstances, results in the owner's guilt. Lo mibaya hecha de lo chosra de kula b'pshiyahu. I don't have to tell you that if the escape of the animal took place without the animal digging, where it's entirely an act of pshia, ela afilu chosra nami. Even where the animal tunnels under and results in the wall falling down or whatever, the animal escaping, even there, mahu detema, you might have thought, havileh tchilas b'pshia v'sofa b'aynes, where the owner began with an act of negligence. He left it in the sun, causing the animal extensive pain, and or leaving it in the possession under the watch of these inepts. That is called chilasa b'pshia. He started off with negligence. V'sofa b'ones, the end was ones in the sense that the animal dug out from under the wall. K'mashmalan d'kula b'pshia hi. Rabba is revealing to us that the entire episode is one of negligence, including the digging out of the animal. My taimo. Why? To Yomale, we say to the owner, May the Yadis, you knew, the Kevon de Shapkis of Bechamo, since you left the animal, albeit in a fenced in area, but you left it under the heat of the sun. Call Tatsdika, or Tatsdika is a word in referring to all kinds of schemes that one might come up with. Called Tatsdika di Is Lo Lemevan of Dovenavka. You can rest assured that the animal, when it's threatened by intense solar heat, will invent, will come up with some kind of scheme to preserve itself, including digging out under walls. So that's something you should have known from the outset. So the digging out action of an animal when left in the heat of the sun is not called sophobonus even. It's entirely an act on the part of the owner of negligence. Hotsio listim chayovim. The Mishnah taught that if bandits removed the animal and the animal does damage, so the bandits must compensate. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Pshita! It's obvious. Kevon dafgua kaimo lo birshusai l'chol mili. Since the bandits took the animal out of its fenced area, they bear all responsibility. The animal enters their domain of responsibility for all matters. So the Gemara responds to the question of pshita, are you not telling us something obvious? So we have to answer, no, it's not obvious. The Mishnah is necessary. Number one, lo tzricha, no, it's not necessary, but tzricha means it needs to be taught. Dekomu lo bi'apa. The situation of hotzia listim is not that these bandits physically drew the animal out, but rather they blocked the animal from walking, with the exception of one, we'll say one escape route, and that is toward the grains, toward the food belonging to someone else. That's called Kamu Labiapa. Kiha Diyama Rav Omarav Matonam Rav. In accordance with Rav's teaching, Hamamid Behemas Chavero Al Komas Chavero Chayov. Now here we're first going to translate, enabling the Gemara to raise a question right after this. Hamamid would mean one who stands an animal. Hamamid behemas chaver, one who takes someone else's animal and stands it on someone else's grains, komaser, grains, and the animal eats the grains. So the one who took the animal and stood it upon those grains must pay for the damages. So the Gemara says, ma, mi, pshita. You took the animal and stood it up on someone else's grains, obviously the offending party must compensate. You did a physical proactive action to the animal. Lo tzricha, what Rav is teaching is necessary in the following: to come lo ba'apa, you stood in front of someone's animal, leaving the animal no option of movement other than toward the other fellow's grains, and it ate them. Omar lay Abaye le Rav Yosef. Abaye addresses Rav Yosef, and regarding the case of Maimid, he says, "He kisha amris lon, v'listim nami dihi kishua." Regarding the case of that Rav spoke about, it wasn't a function of merely blocking the animal's passage, but rather it was a case where he took a stick and hit the animal, and the animal, as a result of being hit, it then went in the direction of someone else's grains and ate them. So for that, the one who hit the animal is held responsible. Likewise, velistim of our Mishnah, nami dekishua. The case involves where the listim, the bandits, they whipped the animal with a stick, and the hitting with a stick causing the animal to walk in that direction, Rashi adds, is tantamount to mishicha, is tantamount to the listim drawing the animal and thereby acquiring, taking over all responsibility. So that's the, we'll say, the second approach to explaining the Mishnah as well. So the first approach regarding the listim, where we thought that the listim physically drew the animal out. So the first approach was no, that would in fact be too obvious. Rather, the listim, the bandits, blocked the animal's path, thereby forcing the animal to go toward the grains of the neighbor. And the second approach is that the listim hit the animal, causing it to walk toward the grains. And the act of hitting is like meshicha. The Gemara elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken, in Maseches Kiddushin, where the subject of kinyonim, different means of acquisition, comes up, and the kinyon of meshicha is discussed, you'll find in the course of that discussion there are different ways of accomplishing meshicha other than the formal drawing of the animal, and included in that discussion you'll see things like this, hitting the animal, causing it to walk as a means of kinyon. So here too, the listim acquire responsibility of the animal for having hit it and causing it to go and eat someone else's grains. The Mishnah taught Mosra Loraya Nichnas Horaya Tachtov. A party gave the animal over to a shepherd. The shepherd takes over. Amri Tachtov Daman. We say the shepherd takes over, but for whom? Ilema Tachtov Debal Behema. That the shepherd takes over for the owner. In other words, the owner of the animal gave it over to a shepherd. Well, Tanina Chadazima, that information has been taught already in the past, where we've learned this back on Daf Mem Dalet. Masroi l'shoimer chinam l'shoil l'sisachar l'soicher. If one gave his animal to a guard. A shepherd is no different. He has to guard the animals. Whether it's a shomer chinom, a paid watchman, a shoil, a borrower, or a chinom, I'm sorry, let me correct myself. He's unpaid. He watches for free. Shoil, a borrower, no say socher, is a paid watchman, a socher, someone who rents. Kulo niflasu tachas abaylim. All of these individuals, when they receive the item, take over the role of the owner and bear responsibility to prevent any damage. So we don't need to repeat that here in our Mishnah. So what is the Mishnah referring to when it says that when the animal is given to a roya, the roya takes over? Elo tachtov de shomer. A shomer, a watchman, gave it to the shepherd. The Gemara asks, "V'shomer kama ifter lei legamri?" The first shomer, the first watchman of the animal, or by his giving it to a shomer, are you saying that by his giving it to a roe, to a shepherd, does that thereby exempt the first watchman altogether? The Mishnah mentions that the roe takes over, leaving me the impression that the previous individual is totally exempt. Well, if you're going to say that, lema devit yufta derava, then our Mishnah will end up to be a Tanaic source, a Mishnah refuting Rava, which is very unlikely that Rava would say something against the Mishnah. Diyama Rava, shomer shemosel l'shomer chayov. A shomer number one that gives an item that he was asked to watch to shomer number two, and something happens, the shomer number one is held responsible. Rashi points out, even if what happened in the domain of shomer number two was oines, the owner can come with a complaint toward the first shomer, saying, "I entrusted you, and I trusted you. And if it would come to your having to swear to your innocence, I would believe you, not the guy you gave it to." So, how are we to understand the Mishnah that speaks about him giving it to the Roeh, and the Roeh thereby takes over responsibility. Omar Loch Rova, my Mosroi LeRoeh, what is the case of giving over to the Roeh, LeBar Zilei? Rashi says, Talmido. The original owner entrusted the animal to a veteran shepherd. The veteran shepherd gave control or watch of the animals over to Bar Zilei, to his student. The Urche Deroya Lemimsar LeBar Zilei. It is common practice for shepherds to give over the responsibility to their students, to their student shepherds. So, therefore, there is no element of, let's say, irresponsibility on the part of the first shomer given to his student. It's not classified then as shomer shemoser l'shomer, which we mentioned before would be guilty. Iko diamri, another loshen, another version. Miditoni mosra lo roya velo katoni mosra li acher. From the fact that our Mishnah used as the example, he gave it to a roeh, and it didn't say he gave it to someone else. Shma mino mai mosra lo roya, mosra roya le barzile. You know what mosra lo roya means? It means he gave it over to his student. To urche de roya le mimsa le barzile. It's the normal way of shepherds to give the flocks entrusted to them to their students. And therefore, the original Roeh will be innocent if something happens under the watch of the Barzilei. Avol liachirlo. But someone entrusted with an item, with things, with animals, who gives it to someone else other than a student, the original entrusted individual would not be potter. He wouldn't be exempt. Leimo Messiah Le Rava. Let us say then our Mishnah supports Rava. Diyoma Rava Shomer Shemosar LeShomer Chayav. If an originally entrusted individual gives it over to someone else to watch it, and that's someone else to the exclusion of a student of a shepherd situation, the first shomer is guilty if anything goes wrong in the domain of the second shomer. So then, the fact that our Mishnah chose a very specific example leads us to conclude that in general, though, shomer shomosu l'shomer would be chayav, and that would support Rava. Amri lo. No, we're not going to say that our Mishnah supports Rava. Dilma urcha de milsu katani. Maybe the Mishnah was simply citing a standard type case, a common case, where if I entrust something to a shomer, he'll entrust it in the hands of his student. But for what din lacher, just like in the case of a shomer that gives it to his barzilei, the original shomer is innocent. The original shomer is the original master, veteran, shepherd is innocent. If something goes wrong under the control of the student, so too in general, shomer shemosu l'shomer, the original shomer, would be innocent if something goes wrong. And hence, we would not have from our Mishnah any support to Rava's din. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.